Chevra, so let's continue our discussion of Shulchan Aruch. Last time we learned, we spoke about Siman Tov Ayin Zayin, which are the halachos of Afikomen. Tov Ayin Ches says, Achar Afikomen Ein Le'echo Shum Davar, that you're not allowed to eat anything after Afikomen. Who wants to make a diyuk in this halacha? Ein Le'echo, don't eat, implying... Ben, any thoughts? That you could drink. Right? Many poskim assume, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this actually in Se'if Katim Beis, that Ein Le'echo Shum Davar means, according to many poskim, you're allowed to drink after Afikomen. Yeah, allowed to drink after Afikomen. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you should not drink alcoholic beverages, certainly. The idea is that if you drink alcoholic beverages after Afikomen, you might not properly recite Hallel. So you want to make sure that you don't get too drunk at the Seder. Then he writes in Se'if Katan Beis that l'chatchila you should not drink anything, even other drinks besides water. Most poskim assume that when we speak about water, we're talking about water in a broader sort of way, which means that we're talking about water, including seltzer, even flavored seltzer, even tea. I know people who drink a cup of tea every year after the Seder, based on this idea that you're not supposed to eat after Afikomen, but drinking is permitted, at least drinking water, so they'll drink tea after Afikomen, which again, it probably makes like the end of the Seder more enjoyable, no? You sit there between cups 3 and 4, let's say, or after cup 4, and you're drinking something, it probably makes it a, first of all, you're probably more awake, etc. Now, what happens if you eat after Afikomen? Let's say a person actually eats after Afikomen. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that if you eat after Afikomen, the Eliyahu Rabba says, you have to eat again. Once you ate Afikomen, the idea is that the taste of Afikomen should remain in your mouth the rest of the night. So poskim say, let's say you decide to eat after Afikomen, you should eat Afikomen again. Now this is a little interesting because we encountered the Mishnah Berurah earlier who said if you eat Afikomen without Haseba, so maybe you should not eat Afikomen again because you're not supposed to eat Afikomen twice. Afikomen should only be eaten a single time. So how come over here if you eat after Afikomen, you have to eat Afikomen again? So the answer is that not eating after Afikomen is a real din. That's a real halacha. No one disagrees with this idea. It's found in a Mishnah Daf Kuf Yutes, so you're not allowed to eat after Afikomen. However, Haseba by Afikomen is not found in any classical source. There's no classical source in Judaism that says that you have to recline during Afikomen. In fact, we know that the Rambam holds that you don't do Haseba at Afikomen. We don't fully have a hesber of that Rambam. Why not? But that's what the Rambam says. So therefore, if you eat after Afikomen, so you have to eat, then you have to eat Afikomen again because you're in violation of a real din. But if you eat Afikomen without Haseba, you do not have to eat again. Good. Vayder. It also says, the Rambam writes, you with me, Ben? Thumbs up. Okay, excellent. It says that you should not eat Afikomen in two separate locations. Because it's just like if you eat Afikomen and you fall asleep in the middle of Afikomen, that you were not Yotzei Afikomen. Afikomen is based on eating a Korban Pesach. And the halacha of eating a Korban Pesach is that you can't eat Korban Pesach in two separate locations. The Torah writes, this is a Beferish Pasuk, Bevayis Echa Ye'ochel, that you have to eat the Korban Pesach in a single home, in a single location. You can't eat Korban Pesach into different locations. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat afikomen in two separate locations. The Mishnah speaks about if you fall asleep in the middle of afikomen.
No, I just so you,
it's the equivalent of eating it in two separate places. However, the Shulchan Aruch in Tafayin Pesa if Beis says there's a difference between nisnamnu and nirdamu. Nirdamu means that you mamish fall asleep. Nisnamnu means you don't mamish fall asleep, but you are dozing. The nafkamina is as follows. If I ask you where something is, do you know how to respond right away? The other day, I'll give you an example. The other day, one of my kids asked to buy something online, so I gave them my debit card to buy something, and then I needed my debit card in the morning. So I wake my kid up, or I walk into the room, and I say, where's the debit card? So my kid answered right away where the debit card is, even though the kid was still out cold for a while. That's nisnamnimu. Right? Nisnamnu means that you're dozing, it's not a deep sleep, you're still able, the Mishnah Berurah writes, to answer. That's exactly the case that the Mishnah Berurah gives. Here, where is it? Here, the Mishnah Berurah, if cut in that test, writes that dozing in halacha, as opposed to real sleep, is defined by im shoalim oso heichan hinachta kliza. If they ask, hey, where's the debit card, are you able to answer? Now, the Rama writes that this halacha of not eating in two places, or this halacha of not falling asleep in middle of afikomen, that's only true if it's in middle of afikomen. Right? However, if you fall asleep before eating afikomen, you fall asleep in the middle of the meal. I know many people who try to take a little nap during the meal. By many people, I mean myself. That if you take a nap, even if you really fall asleep, that's not a problem. You just can't fall asleep in the middle of eating afikomen. This is relevant for another halacha. We'll see in Siman Tafayin Tes that there's a preference to have three people together for Birkas HaMazon and for Hallel, mostly for Hallel, because one person is supposed to say Hodu and have response, have answers, and Hodu is in the plural, so therefore you want to have three people at the Seder. Well, what do you do if you don't have three people? Can you call someone in to join you? So, if you call someone in, that person has to eat afikomen with you. So I could have my entire meal in apartment 3E and go to a different apartment and eat afikomen. That's fine. But once I eat afikomen in apartment 3E, so then I have to bench in apartment 3E because I should bench where I ate. And then when I bench, I should say halal over there. Although, the Mishnah writes, let me say it like this. The Mishnah writes, excuse me, that the halal of Leil Pesach was merapsim and igri. The halal would like break roofs. Meaning, I think I just made a mistake, that after afikomen, you bench, and then if you want to go somewhere else, for halal, for the fourth cup, you can. Right? So you should not eat some of afikomen in place one and some of it in place two. But you are allowed to, in theory, go elsewhere to finish the meal, meaning you can eat afikomen. You can eat afikomen somewhere else. Good. That is Simin Taf Ayin Ches. Can you just speak to here? Let me make it louder. Yeah.
Hi.
So that's a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Kuf Chav. That the halacha is that a Korban Pesach has to be eaten in one place. And the assumption is that once you fall asleep, it's ke'ilu, you're in a different place. Right? I think we all know that. Like, metaphysically, you're asleep, you're mamish, in a different place. Agreed. It is a weird assumption. Sleeping is considered a hefsek. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Zayin. That's what he writes. Sleeping is a hefsek, and therefore it's like eating in two places. So, again, going from house to house is an issue because you're moving places, and sleeping is the halachic equivalent of moving from place to place. Again, I would say it's because, like, when we fall asleep, we view it like we're in a different place. I really think that is the shot in this. I don't know.
Akiva, are you wearing an Astro shirt? I can't.
Okay. Again, in middle of Afikomen, it's a problem that you couldn't move. But after Afikomen, it's going to be okay. Okay, let's go on. Ready? Simin, Tuf Ayin Tes. Afterwards, they pour the third cup, and you recite Birkas Hamazon Bore Pri Hagafen, and you drink the third cup at Haseba. And you don't recite a bracha acharona. The bracha acharona after cup four will be the bracha acharona after cup three as well. And you're not allowed to drink between cups three and four. Now, why should I not drink between cups three and four? So there is a discussion in the post-game. The Mishnah Brura in Yosef Dov. One second, guys. Yosef. You have to be more quiet or more... Why don't you move over to my desk?
Okay. We're moving!
There are two reasons that are quoted in the Mishnah Brura, Se'if Katan Hey, about how come you're not supposed to drink between cups three and four. One reason is that we're worried that you'll get drunk and therefore you won't do halal properly. The other reason is that if you drink, it's near a kemosif al hakosos, right? Remember, we noted that there's machlikas mechaber amah. Whether there's a concern of Mosef Alakosos, the Ramah is based on a sheet of the Rav Yah, who is worried about Nirik Mosef Alakosos. According to that Ramah, that there's a concern that you're having too many cups of wine at the Seder, so therefore there's going to be a problem of Nirik Mosef Alakosos. Now here's the thing. The halacha in Birchos HaNehenin is, once I recite a Boire Pri HaGofen, I do not have to recite a bracha on any other beverage, no? Just like bread exempts all foods from a bracha rishona, so yayin is considered the king of all drinks, and once you have yayin, you do not recite any bracha rishona on other beverages. So the question is it really nirek hemosif al hakosos if you drink something between cups 3 and 4? In other words, can I have seltzer between cups 3 and 4? So, l'cha'ora, it's not going to be nira kemosif alakosos because you're not making a bracha. And there's no concern that you're going to be drunk. Because here's the chiddush, guys. Seltzer doesn't make you drunk. Seltzer does not make you drunk. So, the pashtus is that any cup, any drink that could not appear like it's a kos of beer, like it's a kos of the dollar kosos, there's no problem in drinking between cups 3 and 4.
Wait, what?
Chamar Medina, drinking orange juice between cups 3 and 4 would be a problem. Because in theory, orange juice is Chamar Medina, and according to many poskim, you can use Chamar Medina to be yotzei dollar kosos. However, seltzer or the like, which is not Chamar Medina, so therefore, you are allowed to drink it between cups 3 and 4, because A, it won't make you drunk, B, right, it is not nirek hemosif alakosos, because no one drinks seltzer as one of the dalakosos. Now, if this is the pshat, then it seems to me that tea might be an issue to drink between cups 3 and 4, no? Because I remember my grandmother, Allah Shalom, the last couple of years, she had a very bad case of diabetes, so she couldn't have wine or grape juice at the Seder. So what do you have as your beverage? So I used to encourage my grandmother, Allah Shalom, to use tea for dalai kosos, because tea is Chamar Medina. Again, especially according to definition, like what Moshe Feinstein has, and many poskim have, that the definition of Chamar Medina is anything that a person would serve to guests. Tea is a real common drink is a common beverage that you give guests, especially if you're in, let's say, the United Kingdom, or what used to be called the United Kingdom, but it's now Little England. But, hey, basically, people give tea when guests come in. I remember when I went to Rav Gelli. Rav Gelli was the Rav of Breuers, the previous Rav. He was Nifter a few years ago. So my wife and I went over to Rav Gelli one time, and the Rav and Rebbetzin served us tea, because that's like a British thing that they do. When guests come, you give them tea. So if that's the case, so tea is Chamar Medina, so therefore if you drink tea between cups 3 and 4, it might appear like you are Mosif al-Hakosos. It might appear like you're drinking an additional cup, which would be a problem. That's the halacha.
Okay.
Yeah, so the poskim say that water is not really a beverage for these purposes. No, water, for example, let's say a person drinks water just because he has a cough. You have the hiccups, no? Again, there's like 9 million cures for the hiccups. None of them actually work. But if you drink water just to avoid the hiccups, so in that situation, you don't have to make a bracha. It's not considered a full-fledged beverage. Water, by definition, is not the type of beverage that could be Chamar Medina. You're right, people give water, especially in the summer. Guests come in, you'll give them water, but nonetheless, it's not considered a full-fledged beverage. That's in the Tshuva Nigras Moshe about Chamar Medina. I don't have the Maror Makom on me, but I think that's the Tshuva. Okay, so you recite Birkas HaMazon on cup number 3. The Rambam writes you're allowed to drink cup number 3 many times. Like, in other words, as long as if I have a big cup, I could keep on sipping it. Right? That's not. It doesn't appear like it's a different kais, and it doesn't come across like you are going to be drunk, because you could have drunk the whole kos in one shot. So therefore, that's not a problem. What happens if you're at the seder and it's time for benching, and you bench, but you skip Yalav Yavol? What happens in that case? So the halacha is, Taisus writes, based on the Gemara and Brachas, that if you skip Yalav Yavol in benching during a meal, that you have to eat the meal, Alpi halacha. So if you skip Yalav Yavol, you have to bench again. No? That's the halacha. If I skip Yalav Yavol by Shalash Shodes, since according to many poskim, I don't have to wash for Shalash Shodes, so therefore I don't have to bench again. If I skip Ritzei Shalash Shodes, according to many poskim, I don't have to bench again, because that's not a meal that's necessary to eat bread. Leo has said there it's a necessary meal to eat bread, no? If there's ever a meal during the year that's necessary to eat bread, it's Leo has said there. If that's the case, if you skip Yalav Yavol, so then you have to bench again. But here's the Lamda Shashayla. Is it the Pshat that if I skip Yalav Yavol, it's like I didn't bench? Or maybe the Pshat is that if I skip Yalav Yavol, I benched, but I wasn't Yotze the mitzvah of Hazkaras Me'in HaMe'ura. I wasn't Yotze the mitzvah of saying Yalav Yavol. And once I am not Yotze the mitzvah saying Yalav Yavol, so we have a heter to bench again to get the mitzvah of Yalav Yavol. This is a chakira that Reb Chaim has in the stencil. And this chakira relates to skipping Yalav Yavol on Chol HaMoed. If you skip Yalav Yavol on Chol HaMoed, you have to daven again. Reb Chaim asks the question, what's the pshat in davening again? Is the pshat that it's ki'ilu, you didn't daven at all? Or is it the pshat that you daven, you didn't say Yalav Yavol? Right? Reb Chaim felt the second way. And therefore, Reb Chaim has a celebrated concept that if a person skips Yalav Yavol, let's say on Rosh Chodesh, he skips Yalav Yavol on Chol HaMoed, on Rosh Chodesh by Shacharis. You skip Yalav Yavol Rosh Chodesh by Shacharis. You have to repeat davening when you skip Yalav Yavol, no? Let's say the person already davened Musaf. By the time he remembers, they didn't say Yalav Yavol at Shacharis. So Reb Chaim says, you know what? You don't have to make up the chakras. Because the din is that if I skip Yalav Yavo, I davened. I just didn't get the halacha of saying Yalav Yavo. Once I daven Musaf, so that din is over a bottle. Because that din applies when I'm in chakras mode. Once I move from chakras mode to mincha mode, so therefore I don't have to, I don't have this mitzvah haskaras me'in ha'me'ura anymore because my chakras mode is over. That's the famous yisod of Reb Chaim, and I think we can apply the same chakira to Birkas Hamazon, Leil HaSeder. If you skip Yalav Yavo, is it the pshat that you benched, but you didn't say Yalav Yavo, or is it the pshat that you didn't bench? L'may nafgamina. So nafgamina is, should you take a kos the second time that you bench, no? I drank a kos after time of benching number one. But maybe that wasn't benching. If that wasn't benching, so the kos wasn't a kos. If it wasn't a kos, I have to bench on the kos, Leil HaSeder. So I have to take another cup, and then I'd end up with five cups, not four. Alternatively, if I say that if I skip Yalav Yavo on benching, it's ke'ilu I benched. I just didn't get the mitzvah saying Yalav Yavo. So when I bench the second time, I don't need to take a kos. So this issue in the Dirshu Mishnah Brurah, he quotes it, the Sheva Talevi says that you don't have to, Rav Vosner says that you don't have to take a kos the second time. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that you should take a kos the second time. That's what they have in the Dirshu Mishnah Brurah. It seems to me that this is totally in the same chakira of Reb Chaim. There's a beautiful tshuva in Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank's Har Tzvi about this question of Reb Chaim. It's relevant for many other issues. No, if you skip the Saint Talmud Mutter in davening. By the way, Chol Moed Pesach. What Chol Moed Pesach? That first Ma'ariv, it's like the hardest thing because you don't say Mashiv HaRuach Ma'ariv HaGeshem anymore. No. You don't say the same Talamat of Bracha anymore. You move to the same Bracha. Both of those things could be a Ma'akev. The time that's most likely to mess up a Shemona Esrei is the first night of Chol HaMoed, which for us is Shabbos this year. So I guess you can mess it up on the Mashiv HaRuach. Say Mashiv Ruach Ma'arid HaGeshem instead of Ma'arid Ato. You can mess that one up. You can't mess up the same Talmud Levracha when you should be saying the same bracha. Okay. It says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's move on. Any comments on this Chakir of Reb Chaim, gentlemen? Any thoughts? Agree, disagree, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways, Siskel, Ebert, anyone? So, yeah, so that's the Pashtos. In other words, like what we spoke about in Tafayin Beis, is that the Dalet Kosos are connected to Dalet Mitzvos. There's Kiddush, there's the Mitzvah of Haggadah, there's the Mitzvah of Birkas Hamazon, there's the Mitzvah of Hallel. There are four mitzvahs. Now, there is a discussion in Poskim, in Shulchan Aruch, there are three opinions, about whether Birkas Hamazon Tu'una Kos or Birkas Hamazon Eina Tu'una Kos. But the Pashto says that Leil HaSeder, even though all year I hold that benching doesn't require a kais, but Leil HaSeder, we assume that benching does require a kos. So that's the din. I mean, it seems to me that it's fairly obvious that Birkas HaMazon Leil HaSeder requires a kos. So therefore, if I didn't bench, so then I have to bench again with a kais. But if I did bench, but I didn't get Hazkar Sama'in HaMa'ura, so then I don't need a kos at that second benching. Thumb up, thumb down. Anyone? Yeah, I'm going to give it a thumb. Yeah, that's a thumb up. Thank you, Gershon. I'm going to give myself a clap, which is even better than a thumb up. But if you want, I'll give a thumb up also. Oh, it changes. It changes from clap to thumb up. I thought it was, you could get two different things. Okay. It says that you have to try to have Zimun, Leil HaSeder. And the reason why we try to have Zimun, like we mentioned earlier, is to say Hallel, that you say Hodu and everyone responds. If you say Hallel with a Zimun, so then one person says Hodu, and everyone else should not say, one person, let's say, says Yomar No, and everyone else says Hodu, no? You don't have to say Yomar No, because the leader was Moitzi Yun Yom Erno. That's Me'ikar Hadin. The practice developed that Bizman Hazeh, people don't have proper kavana to be Moitzi someone else. So therefore at Halel, I say Hodu, you say Hodu. I say Yom Erno, you say Hodu, and then Yom Erno. Right? Midina de Gemara, I say Yom Erno, you just say Hodu. But our practice, Bizman Hazeh, I say Yom Erno, you say Hodu and Yom Erno, because we assume that you didn't have in mind, that the leader, the Seder, didn't have in mind to be Boatsy people with that Yom Erno. That's the way it basically works. If that's the case, so I should have people around so that they can respond to my Hodu, my Yom Erno, right? I say Yom Erno, they should say Hodu. That's the way it really should work. So therefore, you should try to have three people at your Seder, but the poskim say that your kids count, your wife counts. That's considered having three people around, obviously, as long as you have two people to respond. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the leader, the person who says the Haidu, should not be a child. Because since Me'ikar Hadin, the leader is being motzi everyone else with that pasuk. Me'ikar Hadin, the leader says Yom Erno, and everyone just says Hodu. So therefore, the leader is being motzi everyone else with the Yom Erno. So therefore, the leader should not be a katan, who said, right, because a katan can't be motzi you. That's actually a sugya in Mesachas Sukkah. Now the sugya in Sukkah says that a katan should not lead the halal. Now, it's a little bit interesting that even though Bizman has said we don't have kavana, and therefore I can't be motzi you with my Yom Erno, we're worried that I won't have kavana, but nonetheless we still assume that the leader who says Yom Erno should not be a katan. That's like an interesting flip. I'm not exactly sure why that is true. So the din is every pasuk in the halal is ma'akev. You have to say halal al haseder. The Mishnah writes in the second parak of Megillah. Al haseder means you have to say every single pasuk, especially according to those who showed them who had the text in the bracha ligmar es ha-halel rather than likro es ha-halel. If that's the case, you have to say every single pasuk in halal. If you don't say every pasuk in halal, so then you're not mekayim the mitzvah of amiras halal. That's the way it works. So therefore, if the leader of the Seder is a gadol and he's motzi you with Yom Erno, so it's ke'ilu, you said Yom Erno, you're mekayim halal. If not, if it's a katan, he's not being motzi you with Yom Erno, then you're not mekayim halal. The Achronim say that the pshat nistin is that whenever I have derech aniyah va'amira, whenever I have the type of situation that I say one thing and others respond, that's considered a shira in halacha. Shira means that you have responsive reading. No? If one person just says something, that's a soliloquy. That's not a shira. So therefore you need a shira, leo haseder, and to have that shira, you need people responding. So that was why it's a good idea to invite some in to respond to the halal. We spoke earlier about whether that person has to eat afikomen with you, can't come in middle of afikomen, etc. Yes.
A wing.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not yotzi with the shaliyot zibor, but the ramifications are huge. I'm not yotzi with shaliyot zibor in chazaras hashatz, no? Me'ikar hadin zimun. Brisker is a machmir. That zimun means that one person benches and everyone else is yotzi benching with that one person. We don't do that anymore. The Mishnah Berurah writes, because we don't have kavana. That's the same idea. The assumption is that our kavana is somehow lacking, and therefore I can't be motzi you with it. Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I think the idea is that something that I do all the time, we assume that maybe you won't have kavona to be motzi. And you're right. Sometimes we are motzi people, right? We're motzi people with havdalah and shul, not kiddush and shul. No, kiddush and shul no one is yotzei with, but havdalah and shul people are yotzei with. I'm not 100% sure why that's true. That's a very good question. I don't know. You think if we don't have kavona to be motzi, but sometimes we are motzi people. I have to think that one through. It's a very good question. Okay. The Ramah writes at the end of Tuf Ayin Tes that the minhag of Leil HaSeder is that the leader of the Seder benches. There's a halach in the Gemara in Sota, in the Duchnig Sugyas, that Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, that means that Tov Ayin Hu Yevarech, meaning the generous person should bench. Just like the Kaihanim are generous and they give their brachas to others, that's why I said the Duchanik Sugya, so also the person who leads, who gives brachas to others, should be the generous person. Leil HaSeder, the generous person, is the Seder leader, because he says, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, if you want to come in, you come in. So he's generous. Since the Seder leader is generous, so the Seder leader is the one who leads the Seder, and who should lead the benching as well. That's the halacha that makes it to Shulchan Aruch, that even though usually Oreach is Mevarech, usually the guest is Mevarech, but nonetheless, Leil HaSeder, the Seder leader makes the bracha. Now, here's the thing. And this is a kasha that I have. I don't know interrets to this kasha. You know, the Gemara... the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim in Sota, the Taisa Shans in Sota writes that V'achalta v'savata b'rachta es Hashem alokecha, that word es is marbe, and that means that the Oreach should make a bracha to the Baal HaBayis. This is based on the Pasuk. You get an impression of the Taisa Shans that the din of Oreach Mevarech is a din d'oraisa. If Oreach Mevarech is a din d'oraisa, how can I give up on the din d'orais of Oreach Mevarech for this din of Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, which is clearly not d'oraisa? That's like a pasuk in Mishlei or something, Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach. So how could I do that? So I don't know what Tarsus Kasha. I don't know why Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, right? This din does not make it to Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Birkas HaMazon. The din that the most generous person at the meal should lead the benching doesn't make it to Hilchos Birkas HaMazon. It's tucked away here in Hilchos Leil HaSeder that the leader, that the person who said Kol Dichvin is the one who should lead the is the one who should lead the benching. Okay, let's just Ben question. Yeah. How come? So should we say Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol at the Seder this year when we can't have people over? So Hanir Lofiani is Daiti, and Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva about this yesterday that we do say Kol Dichvin, and the Kol Dichvin is basically the way they used to make the Seder when they had a Karban Pesach. We all say Kol Dichvin Yesev Yifsach, so we don't have it anymore. But we spoke about at the time, in prehistoric times, when people used to daven with the minyan, prehistoric times, and people would have guests over, so we could say Kol Dichvin. That's where Rav Shechter has it. If you look in the website, the Lair House, yesterday, so yesterday in the Lair House, there was a discussion about why we say Kol Dichvin at the Seder. I think Yitzchak Et Shalom and what's his name, Block, had a discussion on the Lair House yesterday about why we recite Kol Dichvin this year. Look at that discussion. Again, I think what Rav Shechter says in his tshuva from yesterday has a certain makes sense. I would argue, though, that the pshat in Kol Dichvin is as follows. The Seder is an experience of freedom. What makes an individual free? What defines freedom? So there's a number of things that define freedom. One of the things, I think we mentioned this already, that defines freedom is you have a story to tell. Slaves don't have stories. Most of the slaves in America were, in fact, illiterate. When I have a story to tell, that makes me a free person. But also my ability to invite others demonstrates my freedom. So when I say kol dichvin, what I'm saying is I'm free. You're right. This particular manifestation of freedom, I can't do this year. But what I'm doing is I'm beginning to say there by mentioning my freedom. Rav Schechter's approach is the opposite. Rav Schechter's approach is that when I say kol dichvin this year, it's like halach ma'anya, it's poor man's bread. It's a sad statement. It's a statement that we used to be avodim, and that we used to have a Beis HaMikdash, and now I'm saddened that I don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, and my kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol is a sad statement according to that. Okay, Chevra, Emir Hashem, tomorrow I want to do Tuf Pei and go weiter. I think we're going to try to finish Hilchos Me'o HaSeder tomorrow. Basically, it goes through Tuf Pei Dalet or so. Tuf Pei Hei and On is if you make a Shavua Nati Matzah, how big a Kazayas is. So we'll try to get from Tuf Pei through Tuf Pei Dalet, B'li Nedar, tomorrow. And I hope everyone has a great day. Okay, Yashikayev, gentlemen. Thank you.
Could you stop my video?
Sure.